The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences. If you are not an adult, please do not let your parents know you're listening to this, and don't repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please drink responsibly. Now that we have all that covered, let's start the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 331 of the podcast. Unless you're joining live on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, if you want to catch the show live, please do subscribe on one or all of those platforms. Turn on your notifications so you know when the show is live, like right now. Today is Sunday, September 24th. We are coming off of UFC Vegas 79, I think. UFC Fight Night 228, however you're numbering it. I don't know why they have two separate numbering systems, but it was Mataj Gamrot against Rafael Fiziev. Good card, I thought. Ended early, which was nice for me. coming off of a busy couple of weeks. Had family in town. My sister and brother-in-law were here with their two kids, so it was nice to have all the cousins together. We did some fun stuff. We went to Disney. We went to the beach, and it was a good time. And they left on Saturday. No, Friday. I don't remember. I have a busy week coming up this week as well. A couple of bonus episodes coming at you guys. So I am going to have a special guest interview. You guys know I don't do a ton of interviews, but I couldn't pass this one up. This person is a legend of mixed martial arts, in my opinion, and I'm not going to give away who it is yet. I'm going to leave you with a little cliffhanger on that one. So look for that coming up. Then I have this Thursday, I'm going to be doing a Wrestling for Jiu-Jitsu clinic at Mangrove Jiu-Jitsu in Port Richey, Florida. My buddy Jake King owns that gym up there. He opened it within the last year. So I'm going to be going up there to work with some of his students and give them some takedown techniques to drill and work on. And it's going to be a lot of fun. If you happen to live in the Port Richey, Florida area, or you know somebody who does, definitely recommend them to Mangrove Jiu-Jitsu, because I've trained with Jake for many years, and I can guarantee he's giving really good training up there. So I'm looking forward to that. Then I am also going to be appearing on the Protect Your Neck podcast with Dan Tom in the coming week. We're going to be each giving our top five middleweight fights of all time. So if you have any suggestions, you know, please do leave them in the comments in case there's any fights I'm overlooking. I pretty much already have the list in my head, but I could be swayed. So if you have, you know, like a top five middleweight fight or like your favorite middleweight fight, let me know what it is. Maybe it's something I overlooked. So there's going to be that. And then let's see. I had something interesting happen. Someone left a comment on Spotify and complaining that I was talking about my family instead of talking about MMA last week. And here's my stance on this. If you don't want to listen to this podcast, that's fine with me. It won't hurt my feelings. I understand. This is very niche content. Some people don't like this podcast because I talk about alcohol. Some people only like me to talk about alcohol and they don't care about MMA. I don't care. I don't care what your reason is for listening. I appreciate that you listen. If you don't want to listen, that's fine. If you don't want to watch any of my content on social media, that's fine. I make this content because I enjoy it and because it's fun. I will say in the same breath, I greatly appreciate every one of you who takes time out of your day to listen to or watch the podcast or watch the social media content. However, if you want to announce to me that you're not going to listen or watch anymore, don't waste your breath, because I don't give a single fuck. All right? It's really no skin off my back. Again, this is free to you guys. You don't have to pay anything. You can fast forward any parts that you want. You can skip episodes for months and come back later in the year and be welcome with open arms. But don't come bitching at me and announce the fact that you're not going to listen to me anymore, because I don't give a shit. All right. Got that off my chest. And let's see. I'm going to talk a little beer first, because this is my show and I'm drinking a beer. Okay, seasonal beers. I know this is a little bit controversial with some people. I happen to enjoy the pumpkin spice flavored beers. And judge me if you want, but I think they're good. And I think pumpkin itself is disgusting, but, you know, cinnamon and sugar is the spice of the season, and I think that stuff tastes great. This happens to be my favorite pumpkin beer, and it's Gourds Gone Wild, and it's made right here in Tampa, Tampa Bay Brewing Company. It's a pumpkin ale. It's got lactose in it, which takes away some of the bitterness, and then it's got all the cinnamon, nutmeg, kind of almost ginger spice to it. Very subtle sweetness. You guys know I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but there is that cinnamon sugary taste to it. Kind of like an apple cider donut. Like somebody just brushed off an apple cider donut into a beer. And I think it's fantastic. So if you're into the pumpkin beers and you're able to get this, it only comes out seasonally. They're coming out earlier and earlier too. The pumpkin beers are appearing on the shelves in like August, which is crazy because here in Florida, it's still 190 degrees. So you're not really thinking about fall flavors, but we're starting to get there. It's starting to cool off a little bit. So I'm having this pumpkin beer. And on that note, after today, it will probably be my last for a while. I'm going to take a little break from drinking. And I do this once or twice a year. I'll take, you know, 20 to 30 days off. I know on social media, it seems like I drink a lot more than I do. That's the magic of social media, folks. But I do believe overall in living a healthy lifestyle. I try to drink in moderation, which I do for the most part. But every now and then, you got to give the body a break. If you are a fan of the 1 minute whiskey reviews and the 1 minute cocktails, fear not. I have pre-recorded a bunch of those, and I will still be releasing them. So you don't need to comment on those and say, Billy, you said you're not drinking. Again, the magic of the internet, folks. I pre-record a bunch of content and then I release it over time. So I will still have those coming out for you on Instagram, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok. For those who enjoy that content. And for those who don't, I'll still be having the MMA training videos and the podcast clips and everything else I've been posting. Been posting pretty consistently for about 2 months now. And, you know, it seems to be going all right. Seeing the follower count come up and the positive comments. Actually, my last podcast clip that I posted, I got a lot of negative comments, which I guess means I'm reaching a broader audience. So great. And it had to do with my opinion on the Kevin Holland and Jack Della Maddalena fight last week. I guess I had too strong of an opinion for some people. I called it a snooze fest. And a lot of people on the internet took offense to that, which is fine. For clarification, I thought the fight was boring compared to what I had built it up to be in my mind. So the fights I've come to expect from those two, were not the performances that I saw when they got in there with each other, which happens sometimes. I understand they're both trying to win. They're both trying to get a W. I just happened to have an opinion that it wasn't an enjoyable fight for me. A lot of you disagreed, and I've decided that I need to go back and watch it again with an open mind and see if I change my opinion. Because, you know, it happens. It's human nature. You build something up in your mind and then you experience it. If it doesn't live up to those expectations, you could be a little harsh on it. So, look, I'm open to criticism. I'm open to feedback. I always have been. You guys know this about me. Unless, you know, you're one of the newer followers and you don't know this about me. I'm open to it. I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong. So if it was not a boring fight, I'm willing to go back and watch it with an open mind and see if I change my mind. So let's see what happens. So a lot of content coming your way. Interviews, you're going to get a bonus episode this coming week. Like I said, with an interview with, in my opinion, a mixed martial arts legend who will remain nameless for now. And you guys will find out later in the week. We're also going to start doing the fight picks episodes later in the week. We're going to start talking about fight picks, and they're not going to be picks that you're going to want to bet any money on. But, you know, you're going to have them. Maybe what you should do is bet the opposite of whatever I pick. Cause I'm just, when it comes to picking fights for gambling, I'm just not the guy. You got to go to Dan Tom for that, or Brian Petrie, or one of those guys. Mark Fellows agrees with me, says the fight was pedestrian. So I'm glad at least one person feels the same way as me, but I'm still going to give it another chance. I'm a big believer in second chances. All right. I think that's everything I had to talk about. I feel like I had all this news, and now we got to talk about some fights. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a fan of the pumpkin beers. Always will be. Just tastes like fall. It's fall in a can. And it tastes even better on a draft. If you happen to be near the Tampa Bay area and you can get to Tampa Bay Brewing Company or a local restaurant that carries it on draft, highly recommend. I'm also, for the pumpkin spice fans, I have a video coming your way for a pumpkin spice old fashioned. That's going to be a 1 minute cocktail coming up in the near future. Again, pre-recorded. I am still taking a break from alcohol for the coming weeks. All right, let's get into this. UFC Vegas 79 at the Apex, headlined by lightweights Matheus Gamrot and Rafael Fiziev. Unfortunate ending to this one. I was very excited for this fight. It was a very interesting matchup. And a lot of times these striker versus grappler matchups can be very dull. But these are two guys who are both very explosive in their respective expertises. So Gamrot, even though, you know, he's a grappler, he's an explosive grappler. He likes to drag people into deep waters and punish them. And Fiziev, we know that Fiziev is an explosive striker. That's one of the best adjectives you could use to describe his striking. It seemed to me like Fiziev was a little tentative in the first round. You know, maybe he was just getting his timing. Maybe he was worried about the takedown coming, but it seemed like he couldn't get himself in a rhythm. And even though Gamrot struggled to get in on the hips of Fiziev, you could tell Fiziev was concerned. So in the second round, he decides to let his legs go a little bit more, and Gamrot counters with an elbow block. This is something that's very common in Muay Thai, which, you know, I know Fiziev has spent a lot of time in Thailand, so I'm sure he knows this, where you block a kick or block a knee. I teach my students to block knees in the clinch with the elbows. So as the knee comes up, you elbow the top of the thigh, and it's really effective. It makes people not want to throw knees anymore because it hurts, gives you a dead leg pretty much. So Fiziev throws a kick. Gamrot blocks it with his elbow, And at first it seemed like something happened to the knee of Fazeev, but now it seems like the elbow hit the top of the foot or the ankle. So it's very possible with, you know, with the force that he's throwing his kicks, which, like I said, he's very explosive. If you come in contact with something like an elbow, you know, those bones in the feet are not very strong. They're some of the most fragile bones in your body. So if you connect with a sharp elbow, that's going to do some damage. He possibly has a broken foot. Hopefully it doesn't sideline him for too long. But now he's coming off of back-to-back losses. So he's got the loss against Justin Gaethje, and now this TKO loss due to injury against Matheus Gamrot. And I think, you know, obviously it's disappointing when a fight ends this way. We never want to see it. But I think you have to let Gamrot continue to have momentum here, because this dude's a problem. He really is in this lightweight division. Mark tells me that he's looking for Oliveira next. Oliveira is already booked to fight Islam Makhachev. I don't think Gamrot will get a title shot because he has the loss to Beneil Dariush. Let's see where he is in the rankings here. All right, so he was ranked 7th. Fazeev was ranked 6th going into this. Man, it's tough. I mean, you've got... I don't know what I would do with Gamrot at this point. Unless you put him against somebody ranked below him. Maybe Michael Chandler and Matheus Gamrot would be a fun fight. That would be interesting. I think it would be really difficult for Gamrot to get Michael Chandler to the ground. But, you know, Gamrot is a cardio machine, and Chandler has been known to fade after the first couple rounds. So if you put these two in a main event, that could be an interesting matchup. Matheus Gamrot and Dustin Poirier might be a fun fight. Other than that, man. Yeah, Poirier's coming off a loss. You know, that might be a good, it might be a good fight to make. Or since I don't think they would give Gamrot to Justin Gaethje. I feel like Gaethje's going to sit out and wait for that title shot against the winner of Oliveira and Makhachev. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. All right. Got too many tabs open here, folks. All right. Co-main event, Bryce Mitchell, Dan Ige. Let's forget about the whole, you know, televangelist rant that Bryce Mitchell went on after the fight. Let's talk about the fight itself. Interesting one. Very interesting one, because here you have Bryce Mitchell, who clearly out-grappled Dan Ige. And if you're looking at the fight positionally, you know, he out-positioned him and got him in some bad spots in every single round. But if you're talking about damage, which is supposed to be the number one judging criteria, obviously Bryce Mitchell took way more damage. Dan Ige had a few bruises. Bryce Mitchell was basically missing an eye at the end of this fight. So I mean, if you look at the fight as a whole, you know, who came out worse? Like, Dan Ige was in some bad positions. He was in a few submissions. None of them were that close. But, like, let's put it this way. Who would you rather be at the end of this fight? Would you rather be Bryce Mitchell with one eye, possibly needing stitches and who knows? Maybe he's got a broken orbital or something. Or would you rather be Dan Ige, who got held down? I mean, I'd rather be Dan Ige, but I can't argue the fact that it was scored for Bryce Mitchell. So, I don't know. It's just like a weird, gray area, because usually that's a pretty good tell. you know, who would you rather be at the end of the fight? Would you rather be the guy with one eye or the guy, you know, who got out grappled? I think most people would choose getting out grappled. And here's what was interesting to me. Bryce Mitchell's head movement was horrible on the feet. Dan Ige was touching him up. And Dan Ige is an unusual striker because I feel like his lead hand is stronger than his rear hand, which is not typical. Usually if you're right-handed, your right hand is your rear hand, and that's your power hand. Dan Ige, I feel like, hits harder with that left hand, which is his lead hand. He was doing a great job switching stances into his strikes, which I really loved. So he would step forward and throw the right hand, and then his left would be the rear. He was doing a lot of damage with that lead hand just as a jab and with the hooks. Bryce Mitchell could not get his head off the center line to save his eyeball, which he didn't. However, his footwork is good. So if he could just add some head movement to his footwork, you know, he would be a lot more competent on the feet. I will say, as bad as he was getting his head out of the way of punches, he was doing a great job ducking under the punches and timing them to get in on his takedown entries. So it's confusing to me that he can't get his head out of the way of punches just dodging them, but he can get his head out of the way enough to get in on a takedown, which is a lot more difficult to do than slipping a punch. You know, it's just a matter of moving your head off the center line, moving your head after you throw strikes, things like that. Very rudimentary things that are taught at the beginner level. You know, move your head as you're throwing a strike, move your head after you throw a strike, move your head while you're not throwing strikes. Just move your head. So it's confusing to me that he was able to get touched so much, but when he decided he was going to duck under a punch, he was able to see it coming and time it perfectly, that he was able to get in on Ige's legs. Ige, obviously very strong grappler himself, great takedown defense, great submission defense. You know, Bryce had him mounted a few times. He was able to stay out of that head and arm choke. He was on his back. He was able to stay out of the rear naked choke. And yeah, it was a gritty fight. You know, Bryce really had to dig deep, and he really had to make sure he controlled a lot of minutes to counter all the damage he was taking on the feet. And he did exactly that. So I guess that's how you explain the way it was scored. Again, I don't disagree with Bryce winning the decision. I just want to reiterate, I would rather have been Dan Ige at the end of that fight, even taking a loss. Now, the post-fight stuff, I really don't know how to take Bryce Mitchell at this point. I don't know if he's being a character or if he's being himself and amplifying it for attention when he's screaming about, you know, messages from Satan and Satan's coming to get us and we need to pray. And he's holding the Bible up like it's Simba from The Lion King. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if that's really him or if he's just amplifying this stuff for attention. Obviously, the guy has some issues. You know, he's got an ex who was, you know, burning down his farm and threatening his girlfriend's life. And, you know, whatever he has going on in his personal life. And then, you know, whenever he gets on podcasts, he's screaming about, you know, we have to pray to keep Satan at whatever it is. I don't care that the guy is very religious. That's great. You know, everybody has their method to get through life, right? For some people, it's religion, and that's great. For some people, it's martial arts, and that's great. For some people, it's both. For some people, it's, you know, maintaining friendships and relationships and getting your positive. However you get your positive energy is fine with me. I also tend to follow a little bit of George Carlin's philosophy, which was keep thy religion to thyself. So you don't need to be telling other people to do the same things that you're doing, especially in the aggressive manner that he does it. And then there's all the other weird shit he talks about, flat earth and whatever else. It's just all noise to me. And part of me does feel like he's trolling a little bit. He's playing a little bit of a character. but I don't know. It's strange. On the positive, and I let me say something good about him. Despite all the religious talk and the holding the Bible up and forcing Dan Ige to pray with him, which I found very uncomfortable, he did say he was going to donate $5,000 from his purse to Dan Ige to distribute to the people of Hawaii who are suffering in the wildfires. I thought that was great. And whatever the intention behind it is, doesn't matter. If it's because, you know, his religious beliefs are telling him to do it, or he's just doing it out of the goodness of his heart, the intention doesn't matter. The act is a really stand-up act, and I have to give him credit for that. So there's that. I don't want to just gang up on the guy because I think his behavior is a little weird. You know, deep down, he's probably a good dude. All he wanted out of life was some camel shorts. I almost wish he didn't get the camel shorts, because maybe he would have just kept asking for that, and we would have been spared from some of these other theatrics. So maybe next time somebody asks for something so much, maybe just keep it away from them, because you know, the next thing on the tip of their tongue might not be that pleasant. Marina Rodriguez TKO over Michelle Waterson Gomez. So I thought Michelle Waterson Gomez had a great game plan in the first round. She got her to the ground. She seemed like she was really heavy on top. Marina Rodriguez was having a hard time off of her back. And then even in the early clinch exchanges, I thought Michelle looked really good. You know, she was landing some big knees, but then something clicked in Marina Rodriguez where she realized that she's stronger in the clinch. And once she softened her up with a couple of short elbows, and she realized that she could land those elbows and be able to break through the guard of Michelle Waterson Gomez in the clinch, man, she was like a kid in a candy store. She just kept going back to those short elbows, busted Michelle Waterson Gomez up. And I'm sorry, it's just like a little few too many syllables in that name. Let's just go with Michelle. Once she realized that she could bust Michelle up with those elbows, you know, she kept going back to the well with them and bloodied her up real good, to the point where the doctor had to take a look. And then she got her to the ground, and Carrie Hadley had to step in and separate it. And I think in scenarios like this, people are too quick to say, you know, maybe Michelle has been in this too long and needs to hang it up, and don't give credit to the young upcoming fighter. I thought Michelle showed great skills and a great game plan early on. She just didn't have an answer for those elbows in the second round. So let's not say this is a fact of, you know, the veteran fighter who's been hanging around too long. And let's give credit to Marina Rodriguez, who's actually only a year younger than Michelle Waterson. Although this is her second loss to Marina Rodriguez and her fourth loss in a row. So there's that side of the coin, which is tough. But in any case, Marina Rodriguez looked good. And that's, yeah, it's her first win in a while. Her last win was March of 2022. Okay. Brian Battle looked good against AJ Fletcher. Rear naked choke finish in the second round. Charles Jourdain, quick guillotine finish over Carl Ramos. 3 minutes, 12 seconds into the first round, just slid into like a really tight guillotine, which, you know, that's one of his go-tos. Interesting fight, I thought, Miles Johns and Dan Argueta. Dan Argueta looked really strong in the first round. And I guess just kind of faded. And Miles Johns just, this was a case of experience triumphing here. You know, he was able to weather the storm from Dan Argueta, who he was on Miles Johns' back within the first 2 minutes of the first round, I want to say. And wasn't able to get him out of there. And for that reason, I think, started to fade a little bit. Miles Johns coming away with unanimous decision victory. Tim Means with a nice knockout over Andre Fialo. I told you guys this was going to be a great fight. I don't know what the bonuses were. I'm gonna Google it real quick. So UFC Vegas 79 bonuses. It would help if I could spell bonuses correctly. You would think a master's degree in English would help me do things like that. All right, so Marina Rodriguez got a bonus performance of the night. Charles Jourdain. Okay, so Tim Means and Andre Fiallo got the fight of the night bonus. I could have looked this up beforehand, I know, but I didn't. So here we are. And I told you guys last week, this was the fight I had my eyes on the most. I thought it was going to be really interesting because, you know, Fiallo has that great boxing background, but Tim Means is able to mix it up just a little bit more. It was a really great combination that he finished him with because Fiallo was starting to circle out the right way, but he dropped his hand slightly, and Tim Means was able to wing a punch right over the guard of Fiallo that stunned him and then followed it right up with a harder strike right down the pipe. And then he just swarmed him like Tim Means does. Comes away with the TKO, minute 15 seconds into the third round. So great performance by Tim Means in a very good fight. Then we had Cody Brundage technically won because he was elbowed in the back of the head by Jacob Malcolm. This was just an awkward fight. So Malcolm on the back, clearly getting the better of Cody Brundage. He's trying to slip in the choke, can't get under the chin, and just elbows him straight in the back of the cranium, which is, I don't know, is this still your cranium back here? Straight in the back of the skull, let's say. I should use more layman's terms. That I got that master's degree in English a long time ago, folks, all right? Give me a break. And I was never good at biology. I damn near failed that, so. Elbows him in the back of the head. Mark Smith sees it, separates. Doctor comes in. Cody Brundage can't continue. So Jacob Malcoon's disqualified, which means the referee determined that the strike was intentional. So he knew the rule, and he chose to ignore the rule. Cody Brundage is the winner. Cody Brundage didn't even want his hand to be raised. He just walked out of the cage disappointed, which I get. You don't want to win that way. So maybe we'll see these two run it back. Okay, Mark says, this is a great point. Going back to the Michelle Watterson Gomez, the lack of the 105 division has really hurt Karate Hottie, along with 1,000 elbows from Rodriguez. Yeah, let's not forget, Michelle Watterson Gomez fought at atomweight before coming to the UFC. So she was at 105 pounds in Invicta. She was forced to move up to 115 because that was the lowest weight class in the UFC. So if she wanted to be in the UFC, she had to move up those 10 pounds. She's tiny. And she's always kind of been undersized for the weight class. So it is unfortunate that that weight was not available for her. But, you know, she's done an okay job hanging in there with it anyway. Mizuki Inoue, unanimous decision over Hannah Goldie. and Montserrat Rendon, a split decision over Tamiris Vidal. Did not catch that fight. Let me know if it's something worth watching, if I need to go back and see it again. Okay, let's see. I feel like there was something else I needed to talk to you guys about. The next fight coming up is going to be at the Apex, but we have a week off. So I don't know what I'm going to do with myself next week. Taking a break from alcohol. There's no UFC. Pretty much the two main components of my weekend. I'm gonna have to go bowling or something. Oh, okay, Bellator. Here's what I wanted to talk about. Bellator 299, which was in Ireland. I want to say Dublin. Yes, Dublin, Ireland. Johnny Eblen defeats Fabian Edwards, who is the brother of UFC welterweight champion Leon Edwards. Interesting. So Fabian cuts Johnny Eblen with a nasty elbow, I believe, and opened up such a huge gash, basically from the top of his eyelid, direct diagonally across to the opposite eyebrow. If you saw any images of this, if you saw any images of this on the internet, it's pretty gruesome. Probably was going to take a lot of stitches. But then Johnny Eblen knocked him out. So there was that. And then Johnny Eblen almost got into it with Leon Edwards because, you know, Eblen was excited after knocking out Fabian Edwards and then got in his face a little bit. Leon didn't appreciate that. So Leon was trying to come at him. Johnny Eblen's just bleeding all over everybody, trying to keep them apart. And yeah, that was that. Oh, I remember what I needed to talk to you guys about. Last night, or yesterday afternoon rather, right here in Tampa, Florida, I was judging MMA fights and Muay Thai fights once again for Vigilant. It was Combat Quest 31 at the Dallas Bull in Tampa, Florida. And it was a fantastic show. It was about 11 fights. Most of them were MMA. And then there was one boxing match. And I want to say maybe three Muay Thai fights. Every single fight was great. They've put on a phenomenal card. It's all amateur. But the level has gotten so much higher. You know, the level of amateur now, as opposed to when I got started in this sport, it's night and day. And I have to say, I'm really impressed with Vigilant because I've been attending their events for several years now here in the Tampa Bay area. Their production has improved greatly. They just got a new cage. Everything looks so clean, so professional. The show runs so smooth. I'm going to sound like a bit of an old man, but, you know, the music's a little loud. So there were some times in between fights where they're just blasting music for the young people to have a good time, and I had to step outside. But I do really enjoy judging fights, and it gives me a whole different perspective, you know, when we talk about and criticize judges. And I was really fortunate to have this experience given to me by Vigilant. And luckily they've asked me to come back several times. So I've gotten to have several different experiences and be able to judge different sports. And it really does make me think twice about criticizing judges when there are poor decisions in the UFC. You know, we're all so quick to gang up on people, but until you've been in that seat, it's hard to really, I want to say judge. It's hard to really criticize somebody until you've done it. You know, it's a little bit easier when you're watching from your home and you have every angle available to you and you have replays. there was one fight in particular where I was looking at it. It was a Muay Thai fight, and this one guy was throwing punches, and I happened to be at an angle where I could see the punches were all being blocked. But there's another judge on the opposite side of the cage, and I was thinking, he's looking at it from a different angle. He might be thinking those punches are getting through, but I can see clearly to where they're all being blocked or they're all missing. So I thought I would score it differently than him. I wound up talking to him after the fact, and, you know, luckily he was able to tell that those punches weren't getting through, and we scored it the same way. But yeah, it was a great event. There were some nasty knockouts. In one of the Muay Thai fights, a guy took a knee to the chest and dropped right in front of me where I was sitting at my little judging table. The first fight of the night, I had a guy sitting right next to me who was getting stitches as I was judging the next fight. And he was just, you know, bleeding all over the chair. It was a fun time. It always is with Vigilant. They do a great job matching people up, even guys with smaller records, you know. And then there was a few title fights that were really fun. So I enjoyed it. I look forward to doing it again. I believe there's another event coming up in November, so hopefully they'll have me back to judge again. It's definitely something that I enjoy doing. I would like to do a little more refereeing as well. So you guys may remember a few weeks ago, I refereed a Muay Thai smoker and I had a blast. It's the closest I'll get to getting back in there again myself, is getting in there, you know, wearing sneakers. That's just the point we're at, folks. But yeah, again, shout out to Vigilant. Awesome event, great time. The venue is really cool. It's like a two-floor bar. It's like a country western themed bar. They have a mechanical bull in the back, and I'm sure all the college kids have a great time there on the weekend. But I was more than happy to be leaving at 5:30 p.m. and get home in time for dinner. Definitely not my scene anymore, but the event was really cool. So, oh yeah, the next one's going to be November 11th. It's going to be on Veterans Day. I just remembered. So that's that. So a lot of great stuff. If you're not sick of me yet, there's going to be a lot more content coming your way this week. I have the interview that I mentioned earlier with an MMA legend who will remain nameless. I'll be on the Protect Your Neck podcast with Dan Tom on we're recording it on Thursday. I don't know when he's going to post it. So that's going to be my top five middleweight fights of all time. If you have any suggestions, I'm open to it. I kind of have my list already made, but you know, maybe there's something I'm overlooking. I'm going to be doing a wrestling clinic at Mangrove Jiu-Jitsu in Port Richey, Florida this Thursday at 7:30. And on top of that, all the regular content going to be coming your way on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube Shorts, all the whiskey reviews, the 1 minute cocktails, the technique videos, and the podcast clips, pretty much a straight rotation between those things. But please let me know if you have any requests. I did get a few technique requests last week, and I have added them to my list of things that I'm going to be going over. And yeah, I think that's about it. If you guys want to grab any merchandise, you can do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on any over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirts, tank tops, or hoodies. Remember, hoodie season is coming up. Make sure you buy two because you know your girlfriend's going to steal one. If you don't have a girlfriend, buy two anyway. So then you just have a backup, you know? and that's pretty much it. Pretty much all I had for this week. Pretty short episode. I'm not going to get into the Fight Night Vegas, I guess, 80, UFC Vegas 80. It's going to be Grant Dawson and Bobby Green. I want to leave that to discuss on the show next week. So I'm going to go finish the rest of my pumpkin beer and enjoy the rest of my Sunday with my family. I hope you all do the same. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Bye.